A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 493, the non-box office report for the week ending July 14th, 2019.
Good job.
There.
Wow. This summer's going fast.
I don't want to talk about it. Like
I don't even remember the last four episodes. That's how quickly it's going by.
I think they were some of our best.
I think they were.
Yeah.
There was a good flow.
Just, we were all in peak performance.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping that Brian Spath guy was going to just take over so I didn't have to show up anymore. But
now if he knew how to edit.
we had two movie boyfriends in this last four episodes.
Yeah, that's impressive.
So I guess before we get too far afield, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts where you can go there, rate, review, subscribe. And of course, you can check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month. You get bonus content and maybe get to be a guest on the show. We need to do that again.
Sure.
In a little bit.
Yeah.
So also... Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. You can like the page and join the group and interact with us and other Real Spoilers listeners.
Like-minded folks.
Yes. Yeah. Well, some of them are like-minded.
That's true, yeah.
And you can also share the show. People who were kind enough to share the show this week, Librarian Cynthia, Jason Weesey, Ralph Tribble, Julianne Jordan, Lane Levanway, Zara Vandercreek, Susan Carlson, Travis Tewitt, Tom Comiskey, Griffin Foxsmith, Chris Sanders, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Tammy Sherman Powers, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Chris Magic Man, and Gabriel Lugo. So thank you very much for sharing the show. We greatly appreciate it.
Indeed.
So there, all's that. Do we have news or are we just...
Yeah, I don't know about any real big news. There were a couple things. One goes into woke territory, and I don't know if
Oh, no.
But, and then the
other
one...
Oh, is this the Scarlett Johansson
thing? Yeah, it just... So she... Scarlett Johansson, who, you know, great actor, and she's been in a lot of excellent movies... But she's been known to speak her mind, and lately she's come into some controversy with casting. She was in the Ghost in the Shell movie, which to me, I thought that was kind of a non-issue. Like it because the character is kind of, I don't know if you'd say nondescript, but the character isn't, I don't believe, it's a robot, and I don't think she's actually Asian in the movie, which is, and so
I don't want to use the word androgynous. Because that's not correct.
Yeah, but it's not an Asian character in that anime movie. So
I don't
like
think
it.
So.
So I that was really kind of a non-issue. But that blew up, and then she was cast in a transgender role.
Yeah.
Which you know, Jeffrey Tambor, Jared Leto, a lot of straight white male actors have been in transgender roles, and so she.
You'll remember, I called this.
Yep.
When the guy from the Stephen Hawking movie, I'm blanking on his name.
Yeah, and Eddie Redmayne.
Eddie Redmayne.
When I was like, how far away are we from when people start complaining about cisgendered actors playing trans? And apparently we were about 45 minutes away.
Yeah, I 100% remember when you asked that, and when this started happening, I was like, this sounds familiar.
But I guess for me, the question comes down to is, was she the best? Like,
she was cast.
But I'm saying, like, do you think Scarlett Johansson auditions? Or they're just like, hey, we want you in this role. Do you think she goes out for auditions?
I think she probably think auditions for people she hasn't worked with before. People that know her probably are like, I want.
My guess is in most instances she does not.
So here's the
reason I say that is I was listening to an old episode of Mark Maron's podcast, WTF, and he was interviewing Busy Phillips.
Okay.
And she made a comment in passing. It's going to sound way more egotistical when I say it. It wasn't.
I'd cast Busy Phillips in anything.
It wasn't in context, but she was basically said that she doesn't have to audition for TV projects anymore. For film, yes, but for TV, no. And so that it's like you either want to use her or you don't.
Right.
You know, and I think that my guess is Scarlett Johansson is probably at that level in films. I think Scarlett Johansson in films is bigger than Busy Phillips in television.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
With all due respect to Busy Phillips.
I think directors and writers, they may be writing them with her in mind, or they write it and they go, I want Scarlett Johansson in this, like they know what she can do and what she looks like and how she acts. So, you know,
I think the only time she's going to have to audition is like either for like a really prestige project with a top tier director, or if it's just something that's like an entirely out of role.
So if if she's cast in this role, does that mean that she was the best option?
Well, I mean, that's so subjective. You never know, but
I mean, that's not even the argument. You know, yeah. Those other actors. I mean, Jeffrey Tambor won Emmys.
Sure,
Jared Leto did win the Oscar for his role.
Didn't Eddie Redmayne win the Oscar
Dallas
for that?
Byers.
Eddie Redmayne, I think, won though.
He won for the Stephen Hawking movie.
Okay.
And that was his follow-up, The Danish Girl.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, I mean, but they've gotten a lot of buzz. They've given good performances, but it's performance aside, is it the right thing? That's what people are questioning these days. But to her point, she's like, well, look at all these other actors. Now, two wrongs don't make a right. So I'm not saying I agree or defending, but she's pointing out that all these people won two critical acclaim and some awards.
Yeah.
Felicity Huffman.
Yeah.
What did she win for?
Was it Transamerica? I don't think she won, but but it was very critically acclaimed film.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that was her argument. So I can understand that comparison there until they stop doing that. I get that hers is no different than those, but then she went on to make the blanket statement that she should be able to play anyone that she wants because it's art, which is,
I don't know,
kind of a crazy statement, because then that goes into, you know, blackface and, I mean, you know, all the crazy things that have been shunned because they're not ethically or morally right. You know, there's a lot of things that we don't do anymore.
Yeah.
And so to just say that you should be able to play anyone in art should be completely off limits, I think that's getting her in a little bit of hot water. I mean, it's a pretty new thing, and I'm not saying she'll never be hired again, but she's definitely making the rounds because to have that viewpoint that you should be able to play any character, and she goes on to say animal, a tree, as examples.
In her defense, she was a snake.
Oh, there you go.
There it is.
And she replaced a male actor, so there you go.
Oh, that's right. See?
But
she was a trans snake.
She's a tree snake.
Well, I know. It's kind of interesting when you think about it, because she's a female, and if Ka is supposed to be a male, then...
Yep.
Huh.
The old gender swap.
Well... you might be onto something there. But so anyway, we'll see how far that goes. I don't know how long that will live, but she was already in hot water, and then she left that project. So
she is
no longer in it. So they were kind of the interviewer was bringing that up, and then she kind of went off and, you know, unloaded a little bit because of her frustrations with that whole thing.
Feige's like, can you shut up?
Yeah. Well,
like, we're trying to put
one more.
Well, at least one for sure.
I mean, at least she's not that much of a liability.
Worst case
scenario.
We'll just recast it.
Yeah, one more spoiler alert. I won't tell you why, but
I think we're past the spoiler
for that one. Yeah,
yeah,
oh, yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, we're good.
At this, if you haven't seen Endgame by now, you don't care.
I was waiting for the 7-minute cut to come out to beat Avatar. Screw that 6-minute cut. I want seven minutes.
Especially when you figure based on box office. Like, I could even see a movie that's a hit, but sitting at 250,
right?
And you're like, oh, maybe people haven't gotten around to it yet. But a movie like Endgame,
everybody got around to it.
It's like the highest grossing film of all time.
If you're
you haven't
seen it
by now, you don't care.
Yeah, you're not gonna see it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I understand her statements about the Redmayne and Tambor and all that. I get the frustration there. Again, doesn't mean that it's right, but I understand where she's coming from. But I do think she went a little overboard with that last sentiment.
I think Redmayne just snuck in under the wire.
I think he did, too.
I think if that movie had come out a year later,
yep,
I think that he would have had that backlash.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was close. I mean, because that was not that, just a few years ago.
Yeah, we were. It's funny, we were just talking about like things that you'll find offensive in 10 to 15 years. And I was, and I brought up what you said, Tom, is like that in 20, 25 years, our grandkids are going to be like, can you believe our parents ate red meat? Like, yeah. Something will come out that it's like, it, you know, it tastes exactly the same, but it's,
I mean, they're real close. There's
that Impossible Burger.
That Impossible Burger, I haven't had it, but it's supposed,
I don't want to risk it.
It's supposed to be amazing. Like, it's supposed to taste and feel just like meat.
Yeah, but it's Burger King, so.
But,
you know.
It's not made by Burger King. Like,
oh, it's not?
Yeah, no. So they licensed it.
Okay.
So
White Castle is an Impossible slider.
Yeah, so it's it's made. Impossible Burger is a brand name.
Got it.
So,
I thought it was.
Yeah, so okay. Saying I don't want to eat an Impossible Burger because of Burger King is like saying, like, I don't want to drink Pepsi because of Burger King.
Because of Burger King.
Right. It's a brand that they.
Okay.
And the Impossible Burger people did that on purpose. Like, you can see it on a lot of menus in restaurants. Like, it's an option, Impossible Burger. But they deliberately push it out into a place like Burger King because they're trying to kind of get the non-hipster fancy restaurant types
to try it
because they firmly believe that if they can get people over the hump, this will change.
Yeah. So they're like, oh, by the way, it gives you some form of cancer we've never seen before.
Yeah.
So good luck.
So is red meat.
That's true.
I
yeah.
I don't
this
know,
is how the zombie apocalypse is going to start.
Remember, well, it happens about every other week, but coffee gives you cancer.
Yeah, right.
Coffee is good for you.
Eat eggs. Don't eat eggs.
Take an
milk.
Aspirin. Don't take an aspirin.
Right.
Like, it's like it's, every other week, it's a different study, different information. It's like
and humans aren't supposed to have cow's milk.
And I don't think it's chemicals. I mean, I think it's all plant-based what they're making.
Probably,
they're just extracting certain things, and I don't know. I heard a thing on Radiolab, I think, about it. It was interesting.
Did you try it?
No. Freakonomics is where I heard it, actually. But if you go back, I think, 3 or 4 episodes, they were talking about it.
Well, if the people from Impossible out there and they want to sponsor the show and they want to really make true believers out of people, if you can get Tom to eat a veggie burger to switch to...
Yeah.
That is, I mean, that
it's
is...
impressive.
That's a video sponsored segment. It's a whole thing.
But yeah, supposedly they have their first goal was like hamburger. Let's just make hamburger. And then now that they got beef down, I guess they're trying to work on chicken.
Oh, okay. Impossible chicken.
Chicken burger.
And then I guess chicken and then fish. And then I heard the next, if they get everybody on board with that, since it doesn't harm animals, the next step, human flesh.
Oh, good.
So
that's exactly what we
do. Yeah, you'll finally be able to eat human flesh without actually killing
someone.
I'm
telling you, this is how it happens.
Yes.
This is 28 days later.
Would you?
No.
I mean, if they had an Impossible Burger, but for human flesh, would you try it?
The fact that I'm even thinking about it,
it's all plants. It's just emulating human flesh.
Oh. Maybe. I don't know. Would I get paid for it, or is it a, like, volunteer basis?
It's a test market.
Sure.
Oh, man.
You could pick the person it tasted like?
Oh. There's so many jokes.
All right. I know, right?
So many jokes.
Anyway,
Kevin's like moving along. Kevin's about to be like, my own abacus is in the ready.
So there's that whole thing. Things that I don't know that if you touched on while I was gone, but the Mulan trailer came out, which I didn't watch. I'm getting some good buzz off of it. And the big thing is that it's not going to be a musical is the word.
It's going to be a straight up.
So, but people think it looks really good. So they're not just doing a shot for shot remake. They're, you know, really exploring the mythology and the stories that the original Mulan was based on. And so it should look different, but that's going to be the one big thing because there's a lot of really good songs. I mean, was that Donny Osmond? Who did
Donny Osmond did the music in that one. I don't know that he, I don't think he like wrote the song. He sang.
He performed them. Okay. I thought he wrote them.
I think he wasn't he a character in the movie? Like,
I've never seen that movie.
I saw it once a million years ago.
But it's a good movie, and there's some really good songs in it. And so
is that Mushu?
Yes.
Mushu was, that's Eddie Murphy did that.
And so, he's not in this. Or is he in this?
Well,
he's not.
Apparently they think Mushu is going to be a phoenix instead of a dragon.
Ah, okay.
And again, that must be the stories that it's based on.
So Sophie Turner.
Well,
she wishes.
I don't know. I mean, it is Disney, so but I'm not sure they want to get closer to that
connection.
Sure,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
So Donny Osmond played Lee Shang.
Yeah. That's right. Yep.
Perfect. Let's cast a white guy.
It was a different time.
It was a different time.
Because you have Harvey Fierstein is Yao.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I will say, I mean, there are a lot of Asian people in the voice cast for the original Mulan. It's just there are a handful of roles that aren't.
A lot of the stars.
At the time, that was a major step
forward.
That's
probably true, yeah.
You know what I mean? That there were that many, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess with the Eddie Murphy situation, I mean, Mushu isn't a person.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you
yeah.
get away
it's
with
a dragon.
The, right.
So, yeah.
So you don't have to.
I don't think that's as bad. I mean, it's
that
like,
doesn't bother. That's just doing the voice of a cartoon.
Yeah. Like, and especially that's one of the
so
things.
So just to recap, it's okay to have black people play mythical creatures.
Or just not.
Putting that out there.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing that it's really weird when some people started doing that with animals. And it's like, animals aren't a race. Like, the color of their fur doesn't make them a race.
That was somebody
of
said
animal.
That about
like that. It doesn't work like that.
When they do the Goofy movie remake.
Yeah.
They're like, all these characters better be black. And I was like, why?
Yeah. That's the same. Yeah. It's
was,
the same argument.
Was Goofy
it's like,
supposed to be black?
Like, the color of an animal. I mean, he's a dog.
He is a dog.
The color of an animal's skin doesn't represent, I mean, the fur does not represent a race. Like, that just doesn't work. A little white dog and a black. Because what movie didn't that came up with some argument where someone said something about a dog being a white dog or a black dog in a movie? I just can't remember. Mm. It had to do with some casting.
With a
some
voice?
Movie.
With a voice cast?
Something like that. This was at least maybe a year ago or so, but something came up, but it's like, that's not how that works. That's their right. fur. There's fur color, but so like, anyway.
Your dog doesn't really speak English.
You know, they're colorblind, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, see, they don't see color. That's exactly right. And then, so in a semi-related tangent here with musical news, that they're talking about Sherlock Holmes 3 may have the director of Rocketman.
It does. He's done. He's
and
in.
I said, so make it a musical.
Oh, God.
Sherlock Holmes musical. Why not?
With the okay, so that's the Robert
well, he's
Downey
already
Jr.
did the Scene Game Detective.
Yeah, that's yeah. right. So he's got, that's Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law. But then Henry Cavill got cast
what?
As Sherlock Holmes in something else, something completely different.
Well, but Sherlock Holmes is in the public domain.
He is.
So, like, anybody
yeah.
can make it.
Yeah,
that's why you have a BBC Sherlock Holmes, a CBS Sherlock
which
Holmes,
is significantly
a feature
better.
Film Sherlock Holmes. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah, he got, so I think it's Sherlock Holmes' sister. Like, that's the main, that's what the movie's going to be about.
Oh.
Is there's a sister that's.
Sherlock
younger.
Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes, yes. Okay.
Sherlock.
Herlock Holmes.
Herlock, yeah.
Don't even talk about their cousin, Shylock Holmes.
yeah. or Schlocky Holmes.
Schlocky
But no, that Henry Cavill has been cast as Sherlock Holmes.
Is it supposed to be a film?
Yeah.
A feature film?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
It
now,
does.
Now, is this a thing, like, as a sister ever been mentioned
I think
in
there's
the
a sister.
Holmes?
I don't recall.
I don't. I've only ever read Hounds of the Baskervilles.
Oh.
And that's I've never read any of the other ones.
I don't know. I so. Guess I.
Well, maybe. That was about a sister.
Yeah.
Oh, she was a real bad.
She was, yeah. Yeah. She was very nice. So,
so
on Mulan, real quick, I yeah. never realized this. Matthew Wilder is in the voice cast for Mulan. For the guy who sang Break My Stride.
As who?
As Ling, whoever that is.
Huh.
But yeah, I'm like scrolling through the cast because I'm disinterested in what you're talking about. And, but okay. I was like, Matthew Wilder, that's weird.
That's weird.
You know, Matthew Wilder's other big claim to fame
is what?
Brother of Van.
He yeah. was the producer on Tragic Kingdom for No Doubt.
Oh, man, oh. That's a great album.
He's the one that kind of gave him that pop
wow.
sheen.
Oh, okay, yeah, because yeah, they were hardcore punk. Like before well, that,
I miss No Doubt.
Yeah, I'm sure that some of those people do too.
They're a great band
yeah. until they became a top 40 band.
Yeah.
Now, does Gwen Stefani still make music by herself, or is she just kind of
posting she's
stuff?
Done,
and
she hasn't done anything.
She hasn't done anything in a while.
I'm sure she doesn't need to.
Right.
But
who was she hooked up with? Blake Shelton.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure, Gavin Rosdell's like, damn it, lost.
I don't know.
Yeah,
he got her in the 90s, man.
That's true. Yeah, he got her at the yeah.
But
of course, on the flip side, she got him in the news.
That's also true.
Yeah. So that's
maybe it's a win-win.
Yeah, maybe it's yeah, maybe right. when you really zoom out, I like do. Everybody's okay with
they,
that.
I remember when they had like their, I think it was their first kid. I remember looking at that kid and I was like, don't.
Did he have a machine head?
No, he did not.
Oh, okay.
But he did come down.
Okay.
So yeah.
Well, yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah, he did.
After 9 months.
Yeah, right. He dropped. But no, like that kid was, I was like, you two people shouldn't procreate anymore because this kid's too, he's going to be too good looking for the world. Like Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't combine
that?
Like,
what if it goes the other way?
Like,
it's like so they're so good looking that they kind of go around the other way and they're ugly again. Like, my God, I've never seen such a good looking.
I don't even know how to interpret these features.
Like the it's like the sun, right? Like you're happy to have the sun and you want the sun out, but if you stare into it
too much,
right? It's too much.
Too much. Yeah, it's like the Angelina Jolie kid.
You know, while on the topic of Disney stuff, the Little Mermaid thing. I'm just curious. This is a real question. This is not an Impossible Burger question. I wonder how they're going to handle that in the parks.
Oh my
Having
gosh.
Two very different presenting.
That's a
Little
very
Mermaids.
Good question because Ariel's in multiple parks and different spots, and she's white with the red hair, and they're definitely going to want to be promoting this movie. And once it comes out, it's like now you have a whole new generation of kids. That's a really good question. I wonder if they'll split it like
that.
Hollywood Studios, which has a Little Mermaid thing, and Magic Kingdom has a Little Mermaid thing. I wonder if they'll split it between like two different Ariels and two different parks.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just curious because like up till now, most of the adaptations have been
faithful.
Know,
not faithful, but
faithful
to the original look.
But yeah, like the overall appearance of a main character. The closest you've probably gotten is to a change is Maleficent. I think they had two of those that they would trot out in different spots.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't think Maleficent is as important of a character as Little Mermaid is.
Not.
So I don't know. I was just thinking about that. Like, I wonder how they'll deal with that in the parks.
It's going to be interesting to see. I definitely could see them splitting it up like that at different parks. But you're right. I mean, you're going to have a new generation that's more familiar with this new Little Mermaid than even...
Potentially. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah. I mean, unless it ends up being like Pete's Dragon and nobody cares.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You
Seems
know,
unlikely.
You know, with Pete's... And I think we came in pretty positive on that movie,
sure.
But online, with all the talk of live-action remakes that's been going on, like a lot of film critics' number one live-action remake is Pete's Dragon. Because it's original, it's different than, you know, it's different than the original story. It wasn't a carbon copy. A lot of people love that movie more than any.
I would probably put it pretty high up, but I still think Jungle Book.
I think Jungle Book's the best.
For me, it's probably like Jungle Book, Cinderella,
and
then it would probably either be Beauty and the Beast or Pete's Dragon.
Yeah, I'm Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast, and then Jungle Book. Like, those three, definitely. But I just rewatched Cinderella a couple days ago, and
that
movie holds up. Yeah, it's just such a great film. I mean, you've got Kenneth Branagh directing, and Lily James, who is charismatic as anyone, and it's just amazing how well made, because I was looking at it and watching it with Katie, and I'm like, you know, they didn't just make a good Disney movie. I'm like, Kenneth Branagh made a film that was adapted from a Disney movie. But it's not like they're making a quote-unquote Disney. It wasn't just goofy, but for kids, but still enjoyable for adults. It was like, wow, he made a film.
And
you just can tell the difference between a quote-unquote Disney adaptation that's just trying to capture the same cartoon magic. And it's like, this one didn't, because we watched the cartoon as well, and I compared the two, and I'm like, they didn't try to get the same feel or anything. It was just like I was watching a period piece type of a film, and it was...
And they used Cinderella for the storyline.
Yeah. Exactly.
But in the last news that I have is that it was confirmed the Mortal Kombat movie is going to be hard R fatalities, because obviously the one that was a
not hard R.
Yeah. I mean, which I love. But what was the Bruce Lee movie that's the exact same?
End of the Dragon.
End of the Dragon, where he goes to the island for the tournament and all that.
Yeah.
It's just a carbon copy of that. And it was PG-13. And it had a lot of nice, you know, homage to the original Genesis and arcade game, you know, the old school stuff. But it wasn't as truthful or faithful as, you know, in the game. You have all these fatalities where people are doing these crazy things. And if you've played Mortal Kombat 10 or 11, you know, like, the fatalities are next level. I mean, they are like NC-17 level gore. You know, it's just crazy the stuff they do. And so this movie is going to be for adults. It's going to capture that gruesomeness in the fatalities and all that. And they just cast the first actor who will play Sub-Zero, and it's a guy from The Raid.
Oh, yeah, but not the main guy. He was like the...
But Joe Taslim?
Yeah, he's like the main guy's buddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I mean, for a fighting movie or an action movie with martial arts,
totally,
if you're going to go to The Raid...
Yeah.
Someone the other day said, they should just cast everyone from The Raid as characters.
Yeah, it should. They absolutely should.
Yeah, so...
There's no women in that movie, but...
Oh,
you know.
Well, they got wigs. No. Well, we can't do that anymore.
Been listening.
I'm sorry.
Scarlett Johansson will play all the Asian women.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, no.
And three of the Asian men.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she'll be the stunt double for the other ones.
Yes. Well, I guess all that's all of that. We will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. And this week, it's a Disney weekend at the box office. But these days, what weekend isn't?
Yeah.
Yes.
Disney at the box office. So we have Spider-Man Far From Home in its second weekend. I know it had kind of a long weekend. It opened Tuesday?
Yeah. It opened Tuesday, but they had previews on Monday.
Oh, did they?
Oh, my gosh.
So,
this is what we talked about, too. I said this back in the day when they really started pushing. I mean, when it became normal for the Thursday screenings, and then they would sometimes do it Wednesday as a special whatever. And I'm like, well, at some point, you're going to go back far enough to where it just opens a week early on that Friday, right?
Well, I think this one was because of the holiday. Like, its official opening day was Tuesday, and therefore they had previews on Monday.
Well, right, but I mean, to open on a Tuesday still, though,
but that
is
was
so far from...
They've always done that when the holiday falls
kind of snuck them
in the middle of the week. They've always, like, moved around based... You know,
because
they don't want to, if July 4th is on a Wednesday, they don't want to still open on
not
a Friday.
Right, no, sure.
You know, so that's pretty common.
I think it just most of the time works out to where a holiday might be on a Thursday or Friday or later in the week. It just seems so weird at a Tuesday and a sneak on a Monday. But anyway, so it had a long opening weekend, but in its second technical weekend, Spider-Man Far From Home brought in $46.1 million, a 50% drop. It is now sitting at $275 million domestic. But wait, there's more.
Oh, boy.
Almost $400 million overseas. So this movie is well over the $650 million mark in 2 weeks on a $160 million budget. And I know Tom posted that article last week online that it has to break $1 billion or Sony gets the rights back.
Has that been debunked?
I'm not sure. I see people claiming that it's BS.
Oh, I hadn't seen.
But I also see people saying that, like, no, that's...
Why would they
do that?
Well,
I think... Well, so from my understanding is that Sony gets the money from these movies and MCU gets to use them in their other properties.
The way I understand it is that the deal was structured that Sony finances the making of the film, but then they get all the money that it generates. And then but DC does the actual creative. Marvel does the actual creative. And they get to use Spider-Man in their movies whenever they want, and they don't have to pay a fee.
Right. So I think my interpretation of that is that it's a way of Sony being protected, like, well, you're going to make us $1 billion. Not that that's all profit, but, you know, if you're going to use them and we're going to do this deal, we want to make sure you make us money, because if, and this wouldn't happen, but if MCU turned in a crap movie,
right,
and then Sony is ruining their brand, I know that sounds silly, but if it was really crappy in the MCU, which is like the opposite case, that, you know, it would protect them and they could get him back and be like, well, I'm not going to have him be in these crap movies that no one likes.
Yeah.
So I get it as a built-in protection.
But $1 billion seems like a pretty high
bar.
That's
a huge... Yeah, that's
considering it's doubled its budget already.
Yeah.
More so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like triple its budget. Yeah. But yeah, so I don't know, and I never got confirmation, and I never heard it debunked either. But the good news is, though, in 2 weeks, it's up over $650 million. And it seems to be doing really well internationally. And obviously, it's still number one here, and it's summer. So I don't think
it's hard to gauge. Like, on the one hand, you sit there and say, why would Sony ever want this deal to end if it keeps functioning like this?
Right.
But on the other hand, studio executives.
Well, so totally.
But yeah. You know what, though? You know why?
There's a lot of ego involved.
You know why? They made $1 billion with that Venom movie.
Yeah.
They want Spider-Man in their Venom movie. They can't use him while he's over in the MCU.
I thought they could. I thought they could.
I think that's why. I mean, I don't. I think that's why he's not. He wasn't seen, and he isn't rumored to be in the next one. Like, I'm sure that they. I don't think they want, because they're two separate cinematic universes. They do not want Spider-Man in a Venom movie, because then it would tie Venom to the MCU,
right?
And it would dilute that going on over there. So I'm pretty sure they can't use him until the deal's done with MCU. And so they would love to get Spider-Man back now that he's popular and stick him in a Venom movie, which is already making money without Spider-Man.
Sure.
Think about
totally.
If they want to do that, the end run from a storytelling standpoint is you put Spider-Man in a Venom movie, but you do it through the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And then that way,
we say that there's a Peter Parker in that world already.
Right. And because of Spider-Verse, and people love it so much, and that you can use that as a way to put a different Spider-Man in that Venom movie,
right,
and not sully this
MCU
other one.
Spider-Man.
The other thing that they have to worry about, too, in terms of, like, putting Spider-Man in there, sounds all well and good, but they also got to get Tom Holland to agree to that.
That's true.
And I don't know that Tom Holland wants to go and be a non-MCU Spider-Man.
That's very
so
true.
So even if you good get luck, Spider-Man, you might not get the Spider-Man you wanted.
I wonder how that contract works, though.
He only has a six-picture deal.
Well, I mean, like, does that, since it's a Sony character, like, can Sony say, we'll take three of those? Or
what do you mean? Well, no. I mean, so the deal is
a six-picture deal with Disney.
Right, right. Got it. I mean, that's what the deal is. So he's supposed to do three standalones and three parts in other Marvel movies, and so he's already fulfilled five, which makes him the longest running or the most, I don't know how you, most frequent Spider-Man ever.
He's
been in five movies already as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
None of the other ones have done more than three. So,
yeah.
So he's got one more left, and then the contract is negotiable, and there is no more MCU contract after that. So it's like they have to figure out is there going to be a new contract? Will he be in more MCU? Is Sony going to take him? And will Tom Holland, as you said?
Right.
So it's very up in the air. Things seem to be working out so well right now. It's like you just hate for it to change. But I think the big problem, like you said, Tom, is Sony. To their credit, Into the Spider-Verse, that is Sony. Mm-hmm. And it worked because it's animated and creative and everything.
Right.
But Sony's got that feather in their cap. And then they've got Venom without Spider-Man, which made a ton, you know, all the money. So
I think Spider-Verse worked by accident. And I don't say that to take away from the creative team. I think Sony didn't micromanage it because
right.
it was a cartoon
right.
and they didn't care that much.
And they
accidentally ended up
letting them
fostering a work of genius.
Right. Because they didn't interfere with it. You're
totally,
right.
Totally.
100%. I mean, that's a Lord and Miller production. I mean, how great they are. And we know how studios have tried to meddle with their creativeness.
Right.
It's gotten them fired up movies.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because
they
have a certain vision and they're very creative. So, you know, if a studio interferes, they may not make that genius or oversee that genius production. So anyway, we'll have to see what happens. But that's kind of all the rumblings going on with the spider. I don't know. I guess we'll call it the Spider-Verse because
that seems
confusing. Yeah.
Yes.
But so we'll see what happens. But I really hope. I mean, the thing is that Tom Holland, again, has already been in five of six. So that means he only has one solo movie left. I just can't imagine this amazing Spider-Man we have that's made
spectacular.
It all, you know, you would call him spectacular.
I mean, the Amazing Spider-Man's movies were garbage. So,
so I just
sensational
that the fact that it could be one more and then we're moving on to either a different actor.
I don't,
or,
the way they set
it's a very
this,
tangled web.
Oh
yeah.
I see what you did there. The way they set him up though, like I feel like they have idea, like they have
sure.
a place where they want him to go. And I don't think they're going to let him get away.
He's just so young. It's like he can't retire, you know,
like
Robert
true.
Downey Jr.
Yeah, right.
He's so young. He's still in high school. So it's like can't retire. And I can't imagine they kill him off.
No.
Now bringing in Miles Morales for a while and not saying Peter Parker's dead, but if he is gone or quote unquote dead, comic book dead,
they've done
you could
before.
Bring in Miles
yeah.
Morales and then we could get, that would give Tom Holland a break to do art house movies and the stuff he wants to work on, you know.
I think that's probably what you'll see is you're going to see a rotation of all these characters. Like the next, whatever the next event, Avengers 5, whatever that's going to be, it's going to be almost a completely different team.
You have so many characters now and we haven't even introduced Fantastic Four or X-Men.
Right.
Look at the slate. I mean, you think about the shot, you know, from the end of Endgame or even the funeral when you're just painting through all these characters.
Right.
You're like, crap, they have built up a lot of characters. There's only so many movies you can make
and you
in
can
a year.
Switch people in
and
out.
So you really could rotate them.
That was the thing about the Avengers team, though, is like that team never like stayed the same.
Sure.
You'd have the Magnificent Seven, basically. But that team was always like Wonder Man and the Vision and the Scarlet Quicksilver. So obviously they can't do Quicksilver, but those characters.
Can't they now? Oh,
they killed
him. Dead.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess
that's never
a good
stopped
question.
Them in the past.
I guess
they have the rights.
Who
to
knows
him,
what
so.
The snap did?
Yeah,
you know, or the blip.
Yeah.
So
was the snap. The blip is when they come back. The snap is when they go away.
Yeah, but Tony Stark could have brought him back.
Yeah,
when he could have blipped him back.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking that Tony Stark was just undoing the Thanos stuff, but he died in Ultron.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have been included in the Ultron.
I guess that's
true.
Or in
the Endgame Infinity War stuff. The blip, but anyway. But that's yeah, the, so like that's... Do you know Kevin Feige and Marvel never even used that the word the snap, that the fans made it and they just kind of adopted
it? Oh, really?
Because now they recognize it and they're like, the snap is when Thanos did his snap at the end of Infinity War.
Right.
And the blips when they came back. He recognized both those terms in an interview. But he's like, we've always called it the blip. And then we realized people started calling it the snap. And now that's the two different.
That's funny. Yeah. But yeah, like that Avengers team is always changing. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we get, if Ruffalo leaves and we get a She-Hulk. That's where I would bet.
Do you think that Marvel can just give Sony like West Coast Avengers? Here. Do whatever you want with it. Give us Spider-Man.
Hawkeye can be the leader of your team.
Yeah.
There you go. Have fun with that.
Take him.
You get Union Jack. Or, Jack of Hearts.
Do you know that in the original, I don't know if we ever talked about this.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
He was in the New Warriors, but.
Did you know Hawkeye was supposed to die?
That does not surprise me at all.
Scarlet, and that's why, because Black Widow is such a popular character, they originally weren't going to kill her off, but I think that maybe even it was Scarlett Johansson, but so it was like Clint is the one that has a family.
Right.
And, you know,
well, I think they killed off Black Widow because they're going to have Scarlett Johansson play Luke Cage.
That's right. Oh, yeah. No. That's what I heard. I heard she's going to play the baby of Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. That's what I heard.
I heard she's going to play the baby and Mother too. But anyway, so Spider-Man Far From Home making a lot of money. And so you can go listen to that episode from a couple weeks ago. But moving on to number two. Guess what? Surprise, it's Disney. Disney Pixar's Toy Story 4 still making a ton of money. The theaters have been packed with families. I mean, it is summertime, but Every time I go to the movie and I see, you know, families with three little kids in tow, and I'm like, wow, they're going to see Toy Story. Like, that's...
I think this is a word of mouth thing. Like, not that Toy Story is not an established brand, but I think there were a lot of people that were skeptical. Yeah. And you saw it in that opening weekend. Everybody was kind of apoplectic because it underperformed.
Right.
And we even said at the time, It's going to come around because It's so good.
Sure.
And it appears to be.
Look at what it's done.
Absolutely. Yeah. We all knew. I mean, once we saw it, and that's why I say this movie, for those of you that have maybe only seen it one time and you're like, yeah, that was good. You know, I was a little worried, but it was good, but not great. I don't like it as much as any of the, some people don't like it as much as any of the first three. But I'll tell you what, I saw it three times. And on that second time, it really was a turnaround to where I didn't just like it, but I loved it because you have your guard up that first time. And I think I mentioned it on the show, but you go into it and rightfully so, you're like, what are they doing? They already ended it. There was a perfect ending and you've got your guard up. But once you know that it's good and you can, you know, you let a breath of relief out at the end, you're like, oh, it was okay. They treated it right. Then you go back and watch it through different eyes and you catch more things. And
right.
So it's a movie that really does fare with repeat viewing. So I would say, you know, even if you're only going to see it once in theaters and you enjoyed it, you know, when you watch it again on home video, I think you'll understand, you'll appreciate it a little more because I certainly did. And even though I did really like it the first time, it's like, wow, it's a really great movie. So word of mouth is strong. It's week four with only that 36% drop. It's summer. It's the big kids movie out. I mean, they've got a great thing going on with this one. So $347.4 million domestic is the estimate as of this weekend. Another $350 overseas. So we're around the $700 million mark. Ooh. Still don't have a budget listed here, but I'm guessing it's somewhere in the $150 to $200 million. That seems to be where the big top tier animation stuff lies.
And it's probably on the high end because the voice actors. Yeah. They
didn't have them for a fourth deal.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people in this one. So yeah, I would say it's probably of the 200-ish, you know, maybe a little more, but 700 million in 4 weeks. They're definitely happy with that, and I think it will continue to be very popular during the summer. But that is if it is not taken out by Crawl in continuing weeks. Crawl, number three, brought in $10.4 million, beating the big comedy opening that we're about to get to. But that little picture, I do have a budget, actually, $13.5 million.
All right.
It's almost hit its budget. That's surprising. When I watched it, I was thinking, is this one of those, like, because it's like filmed in one place.
It's almost a set piece.
It's one soundstage or whatever. So I'm thinking, like, is this like one of those $4 to $5 million that's going to just make a ton of money?
It's a CG,
but
man.
I guess when you go out, because they're mostly trapped into the crawl space of a home, but when they go out into the, you know, the,
right.
there's a bit more. Like, yeah, they built a pretty big
Was probably pretty area.
So, lots of water.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah. Just the water bill. They should have at least some from those theme parks that use hundreds and thousands of gallons of water that gets recycled every day. But anyway, what is in Florida?
Yeah.
So who knows?
True,
they might have tapped into Volcano Bay or no, we probably don't. We probably can't even say that without getting in legal trouble.
Right.
You know, they are very sensitive
about the water.
No, about the gators.
Oh,
around these parts, they don't mention them. You know, like they even removed any mention of gators. Like, you know, I don't know if it was just a mention or like TikTok Croc. I don't know if he still shows up in a costume, but I know they're very sensitive because of the stuff that's happened, you know, around the theme park. So anyway, but we will get to that one next episode. Surprise. You're in for a treat. anyway, so almost remaking its budget. So we'll have to see what it does in continuing weeks. For now, we'll move on to number four, Stuber. It's the big comedy with... Dave Bautista?
That's right.
Does he go by Bautista or in acting is he Dave Bautista?
He's Dave Bautista.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Dave Bautista and Kumail Nanjiani.
It's the advantage of having your wrestler name the same as your real name.
Right?
Yeah.
Bautista.
No, I think his real name is like B-A-U, like I-T-A, like it's, U in there, but they take it out in the when he's wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I thought they didn't let them use their real names anymore, and that way
it's very rare.
They owned the rights to the name.
Yes.
And it limited what you could do when you left.
They have kind of eased up on that a little bit.
Oh, okay.
So they let some of the guys coming in probably that have signed in the last 5 years.
Well, now they let them do whatever they want because they want to keep wrestling.
Yeah, that's exactly
you
it.
You hear about
yeah.
that big competing? Someone opened up a wrestling organization to
AEW,
compete because
all
now
wrestling.
It's a monopoly. You know, right. For a while, there's been no other big ones since WCW closed. I can't believe I'm talking about this.
Yeah,
so they opened a competing one, and the people that opened it own sports teams.
They own the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay, and so apparently this family, they have 10 times the amount of money as Vince McMahon or something, crazy money. So they're pulling out all the stops, and they're trying to make this competing one, and like everyone's jumping ship that is out of contract from WWE.
The big one was Dean Ambrose. Like that was the one that he was just like, I'm just letting my contract expire.
But they're getting, don't they have like, do they have the Young Bucks?
They have a lot of the popular Kenny Omega, Kenny Rhodes, like all those. Yeah.
So a lot of people jumped ship. And so they're worried about more and more people want to go over to this other one because WWE has been very family oriented.
Oh,
and they want to be edgy. And they want to.
They are definitely like TV. They're leaning into the TV 14.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So. And it's, but yeah, so like they recently they've been signing up, you know, they have like the big promotion and they have a bunch of like indie promotions.
Okay.
And there was a bunch of guys like at that time who were making big waves and Triple H was like, we should probably sign these guys now because we're going to need them. And I guess when they go into that developmental territory, part of the deal is they can keep their name that way that if, you know, they can put their name on t-shirts and it's recognized. So when they're coming from the independents to WWE, they would change their names and people are just like, who the hell is that guy?
Gotcha.
And
so,
now they're,
so any fan base they had developed is gone.
Right. So now it's just like Adam Cole comes in as Adam Cole, Ricochet as Ricochet. So like things like
so
that.
So then WWE gets to develop their brand and they take it with them when they leave. So it's a risky proposition.
Right.
It might be good in the beginning, but if they do jump ship, they've basically done all the marketing and all that's interesting.
Yeah.
So
they change them sometimes when they go to the main roster, but like in NXT, they're the names. Yeah.
Interesting. So anyway, but Dave Bautista is in Stuber, so it's a comedy that opened, but $8 million. So I was very surprised, but again, this summer has not been kind to comedies. So only $8 million on an undisclosed budget for now. But Tom, you saw it, so.
It was a solid comedy.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, it wasn't amazing, but it was very much a throwback to kind of 80s buddy cop movies. And Bautista plays a police officer who's, you know, trying to catch the drug guy who killed his partner.
Okay.
But he just got LASIK and he can't see. And
that's
so,
kind of,
so he hasn't had his
kind of
license
brilliant.
Revoked
right.
in this one.
And so, and then he needs to get there quickly and he calls for an Uber. And Kumail Nanjiani plays a guy named Stu who drives an Uber, so they call him Stuber. And
is it actually Uber? Like they sponsor?
Yeah,
like,
it's actually
Uber.
They say Uber like a million times.
So they got some money from Uber. Okay.
And he's desperately trying to cling on to his 4-star rating. And so,
and so he takes over.
So he basically kind of has to do what he wants him to do, or he'll give him a bad rating. And so,
such a ridiculous premise, but it does sound really fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and I will also say, I think one of the smartest things they did this movie is an hour and 33 minutes.
It
gets in, it gets out. Right about, I think any more would have been way too much.
Yeah,
right.
Comedies don't need to be over 2 hours. Yeah. That's good when they recognize what they can cut. Just bring the laughs, keep them coming, and get you out of there. So I looked up what the movie Taxi made, the remake with Jimmy Fallon and Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
And just the state of comedies, it's so sad because there's been so many great movies that have gone underappreciated, and one of them is Booksmart.
Yes,
and I'll keep saying it because it's just so frustrating, even though I have no stake in it. But
Booksmart right now is the funniest movie of the year, and I can't envision that changing.
Yeah, it's so good, and when I see a movie, and again, I'm not trying to downplay the other movies, but it's just that Booksmart's so good, it deserved to make a lot of money, therefore be successful, and we get more good movies like it. But then we have movies like Crawl making $10 million on opening weekend. Booksmart makes $7 million,
right?
You know, and then it fizzles out. It's just so frustrating. But so I look at the movie Taxi with Jimmy Fallon and Queen Latifah, which is a remake of the French Luc Besson produced Taxi movies, action movies.
Yeah,
and that opened to $12 million. Stuber opened to $8 million, and so it's just like, oh, what is it with? I mean, again, that was a different time, but it's just like. This sounds like it'd be a lot better than Taxi, the remake is my point.
It would almost have to.
And
I don't think that's far, far-fetched.
And it's making, 30% less. So it's just, I don't know, it's just crazy. I don't know what's going to become.
It's making way less when you adjust for inflation.
Oh, true, and inflation.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, for
sure. Because Taxi's like, 20 years ago?
Yeah, oh, I don't know about, 15, crap.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I never saw it either. It did not look appealing
not
at the time,
at all.
Even 15 years ago for me. But so anyway, we'll have to see what happens to old Stuber.
Comedy's in the toilet until Apatow did his stuff. Like nothing was really hidden until 40-year-old Virgin.
True. You had all those Will Ferrell movies,
old school, but
that's at the same like.
But those predate.
Oh, I guess they do, don't they?
Yeah,
that's the Todd Phillips stuff.
Yeah.
And then Apatow came in and did his stuff.
It was close in the time period, though. I mean, there was the really dumb comedies of the 90s. Jim Carrey had all those stupid, wacky comedies, made a ton of money. And then it kind of was like, okay, this silly stuff's getting kind of dumb. And we got into American Pie spinoffs and National Lampoons. You know, Van Wilder was a good one. But then you got all the
I don't think that was a hit, though. I think that found its life on DVD.
Yeah, I don't think Van Wilder did much.
That's
in the
true,
theaters.
Yeah. But then you got the really bad stuff. National Lampoon was in theaters those weren't straight to VHS. Like, they were maybe after Van Wilder. They were pumping out the cheerleader movie.
National Lampoon has always been pumping out movies. Yeah.
Theatrically, though. Yeah, I mean, now you don't see them in the theaters. But back then it was like you got all those dumb comedies. But so people got sick of it, and then we got smart comedies, with these great writers with Apatow. And but you're right. And then, those have kind of even fizzled a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know what the next thing will be. I mean, you've got, again, these really good indie ones, but they're not. I mean, remember The Hangover
was the one that
broke records and made $100 million rated R. And then we got a bunch of hard R comedies and they're making money.
I think Wedding Crashers predates
it. Does
Hangover?
But Hangover, it does. But then Hangover really broke the records, though.
Wedding Crashers was the first like R comedy in a long time.
Yeah, right.
That was a big hit.
Was Old School not a big hit?
Was Old School R?
Oh, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
There's
Old School was another one of those indie
was
hits,
it?
Though. Yeah. I mean, it was funny, but I think that it found its life on
DVD.
On DVD.
Man, that was a good movie.
I'd not say it didn't make any money in theaters,
sure.
But I feel like Old School was one of those where word of mouth and people came over and watched it and it became this.
Yeah.
I don't want to say cult because it did do decent, but it really blew up.
No, it did. Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like Anchorman. Anchorman was
Anchorman
another one
definitely
that,
found its second
that blew
life
up on home video. Yeah. I
feel like Old School was 2003 and Wedding Crashers would have been like 2004 or 5.
Yeah, I think it was 2004. They were close.
40-year-old Virgin's in there somewhere too.
Who directed Wedding Crashers?
Todd Phillips, I think.
Was it a Todd Phillips as well?
I don't remember. Oh, maybe it's not. Maybe
I don't think it's Todd Phillips, but I could be wrong. I just can't think of who.
So Old School had a budget of 24 and made 87.
Okay. Yeah. So it was
when?
It was 2003.
Okay.
And I think Wedding Crashers is 2004.
I think it is too.
Yeah. Can you tell us who the director was?
Wedding Crashers is 2005, and it was directed by David Dobkin.
There you go.
Who?
I don't know.
That's right. Click on his name because he's directed other.
But its budget was $40 million, and it made $285 million.
Yeah, that movie was that's Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, that was the first movie that really got him noticed.
Yeah, that was was the boyfriend.
He was the jerk.
Yeah. Brad? Was his name Brad in that?
Oh, I don't
I think
remember.
It was Brad.
That's where they spray.
Let's see. David Dobkin directed Fred Claus.
What did he do recently? He did something to where...
King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
Yikes.
The Judge, R.I.P.D., Jack the Giant Slayer.
So one.
The Change-Up and Fred Claus.
Oh, the Change-Up's not bad. But that's that's more based on Bateman and...
Shanghai Knights?
Ooh, that's not good.
Oh.
That's the sequel to Shanghai Noon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Clay Pigeons.
Oh.
That's an art house movie with Vince Vaughn. It's probably how it ended up.
Probably,
might have played a role.
Okay.
Change Up's not bad. Change Up, that's the one with Jason Bateman. But I mean, like, that's because of them.
Yeah, that's Ryan Reynolds and Bateman.
Jason and yeah.
He directed an episode of Iron Fist.
Oh, yikes.
Well, that, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's the thing is, like, I don't know what the next.
We'll have to see what brings back the big, big budget, and you know.
Oh, here we go. Uh-oh. He directed the video for "Bandidos" by the Refreshments. That's one of my favorite bands.
That's a great song.
I love the Refreshments.
That is a great song.
Looks like you need to check out his back catalog, Tom. So we'll see what Stu ends up doing and when comedies will return.
If you need some street cred, he directed the videos for "Keep Your Head Up" and "I Get Around" by Tupac.
There you go. I'll keep that in mind for my trivia nights that I don't go to. All right, so number five, yesterday, Danny Boyle's latest film, $6.7 million and 33% drop in week three. That is up to $48.2 million domestic with another 20 overseas. So we're approaching the $65 million on a $26 million budget. And I know you guys talked about while I was gone. I did not listen to it, though, because I don't want it spoiled myself. I want to figure. I have no idea what is happening in that movie, and I do want to see it. So hope to get to the theater soon now that I'm back home. Number six.
So we shouldn't tell you that turns out he's Pete Best?
Don't.
Surprise.
Surprise. So,
coming out in number six, Aladdin, which is the big surprise of the summer. This is the movie that will not stop. The movie that looked terrible and people ended up saying was actually okay.
It looked terrible and was saved by the fact that it was mediocre.
Exactly right. But making a ton of money, $5.9 million, a 21% drop in week eight. $331 million domestic, over $600 million overseas. This thing is approaching $950 million worldwide on a $183 budget.
The biggest hit of Will Smith's career, right?
Is it really? And it was like
so,
5 weeks ago was the biggest hit of his career. Huh. So like this thing is making more money than they ever... I mean, they definitely hoped for it, but we did not think it was going to end up like this, and it did. So, I mean, people are digging it.
I keep seeing trailers for that Gemini Man. And initially, I was like, "This looks dumb.
It looks awful."
And then the second time I saw it, I was like, "If they just lean into the action,
if they had leaned into having the de-aging stuff that didn't
that
suck,
is true. That it's wonky.
I'm like,
it's very wonky.
It's really bad.
Yeah. And you think that I'm sure Marvel doesn't have the rights to that technology.
You think somebody could recreate it, but that's." Yeah.
There's guys on YouTube that do better.
Whole movie hinges on that, and it looks awful.
Yeah. Did you see the
Jim Carrey?
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Did you see this?
No.
The deep fake where they superimpose Jim Carrey's face over Jack Nicholson's from The Shining. It's unnerving because it's so good.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, Jim Carrey can play that crazy.
Well, and he does a Nicholson impersonation.
Yeah.
His stand-up, he used to do this thing where he would do impersonations, but he would impersonate their faces and not their voices.
Yeah. Oh.
And so he would, like, shift his face around to look like Jack Nicholson.
Leonardo DiCaprio does a great Nicholson face. Have you seen that in an interview? Uh-huh. You'll have to look up the Leonardo DiCaprio doing a Nicholson, and it is creepy the way he turns.
You know who does great impersonations?
Who?
Kevin Spacey.
He does. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
He does some really good ones.
Do I have to bleep that?
Yeah. They dropped the charges. I don't know if that gets him back or anything.
Nope.
No, it doesn't.
Did they really?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on there, but they dropped
it. I guess I missed that. I heard that he was showing up to court or whatever, and I did not hear about that.
Yeah, he does some pretty amazing...
Huh.
I bet you in a few years you'll see him back then.
He does an amazing Jack Lemmon.
He does.
Have you ever heard him sing?
Yes.
I remember whenever he would go on those late shows that he would do those impersonations.
Johnny Carson?
He did the John Lennon tribute and sang a John Lennon song, and if you just listened to it, you would think it was John Lennon.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Wow.
But well, yeah, that deep fake, go find it.
Yeah.
Because it's unnerving how good it is.
Yeah, it's crazy, but there's a lot of people doing that stuff on YouTube, and just go look for these. There's one with Keanu Reeves that they just did the other day where he stops a convenience store robbery, but he's super nice to the robber and everybody included. It's really funny. Go check it out, and those guys are the ones that do a lot of cool VFX videos on YouTube. Number 7, Annabelle Comes Home, still sticking around. $5.3 million, a 44% drop, so that's making $60 million domestic. $140 million worldwide, so I know that's making money.
Yeah.
Midsummer, number 8, the one from last week, $3.5 million is a 45% drop, $18.3 million on that. So, I mean, I don't know what the budget is on that one. It looks like maybe it would be a few bucks more than Hereditary, maybe. I don't know. Filming on location, you know, having to go overseas and everything.
They have to pay for lighting.
No, they didn't.
That's true. That's a very bright movie. I saw it, too. So it's like, yeah, I like this, what Ari Aster's doing. I mean, I definitely like that we're getting these original, you know, horror takes.
Yeah.
So, be interesting to see what he does next, because he says it's going to be non-horror. So we'll see.
That would be interesting.
He'd like to do a comedy, I think he said. Like a different kind of a comedy. But
I don't doubt that.
Number 9, The Secret Life of Pets 2, $3.3 million, a 29% drop. Brings that to almost $150 million domestic with another $120 overseas.
You left out the subtitle of the film, Secret Life of Pets 2. Toy Story is sold out.
Oh, sorry. I couldn't put that all on the screen with this font and everything zoomed in for my age here. That one's making money. So, can't quite compete with the other one out. But rounding out the top 10, Men in Black International still hanging around. $2.2 million is a 42% drop for that. $76.4 million domestic, $162 million overseas. So looks like it's getting a little bit of a bailout from the overseas money. But we're at just over $240 million on a 110. So with marketing, you know, doubling it, you know, doubling the take and everything, I mean, it's pretty close to break even. So I don't know what will become of that. I mean, it was already a franchise that I didn't know was still going. So
yeah,
I'm not sure this was enough to do their whole, you know, I'm going to America and I'm staying in the
UK. Right.
We're going to have different branches and adventures and
So none of that.
I think that might be it for now, but we'll see.
Yeah. If they try to do anything more with that, it's going to have to be bringing Will Smith back.
Yeah.
I think that would be the next one. Like, didn't have him. It didn't work. Let's bring him in.
But then the question becomes, if you bring Will Smith back, well, first off, you're going to have to back up a truckload of money.
Yeah.
now you don't want him to continue your franchise. You want him to save your franchise.
Right. Yeah.
But also, do you even address that this movie existed if you bring him back?
Yeah, you could say that he quasi-retired.
But do you bring back any of these characters?
I wouldn't mind seeing him in Chris Hemsworth, maybe.
I wouldn't mind seeing him in either one of them.
Yeah,
just
him
curious, like,
would work too.
Do you even address the existence of this movie since it's so drastically underperformed?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have something there with those actors. It just unfortunately the story wasn't as good, but I still think that they'd maybe try to use them, and I would think the best way to do that would then be Will Smith and them together, and then hopefully you enjoy that so much that it's like, okay, now we'll go with more of their adventures.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. Who knows what the studio executives will do with all that.
Nothing good.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully. I mean, at one point they did, but I don't know. I think the big problem was no one was asking for it. No one was asking for a Men in Black 4. We got it, and this is what happened. It's making its money back just barely, and you know, not the franchise they wanted. That's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the League of Show Sharers, and you can also find us on Patreon at patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month gets you bonus content, and maybe one day you get to be on the show.
Ooh.
You never know. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Crawl. Until then, you've been warned.
The state of- Florida has issued a Category 5 hurricane warning. Grab your loved ones and get to safety.
Dad, what do we do?
You need to go.
I'm not leaving you here.
Rated R. Only in theaters July 12th.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.